You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
British police think ISIS not-so-lone wolves may have been howling over WhatsApp. WikiLeaks is still disgruntled over its disclosure offer's cool reception. March Madness is also fishing season. How and why online gamers cheat. Gift Ghostbot drains gift card balances. States mull next steps after the America's JobLink breach. CrowdStrike walks back some claims in its Ukrainian artillery hacking report, but insists the hack was real and that signs point to Fancy Bear. April 7th marks two deadlines for cyber actions. Observers hope for two fizzles. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Monday, March 27th, 2017. After the attacks in London, ISIS makes large-scale and predictable use of online video as recruiting and inspiration tools. British police investigate the possibility that a cell, which may have supported the attacker, made use of encrypted messaging apps. The authorities have one man still in custody who they believe was in communication with the attacker by WhatsApp. It's worth noting in this context, as so often with ISIS, that the sense in which an attacker is a lone wolf is often attenuated. At the very least, they're responding to recruitment and inspiration, even if there's no immediately directing command and control. The Westminster attack may have involved some coordination with at least one collaborator, and perhaps with a larger organization. WikiLeaks continues, largely in vain, to persuade tech vendors they ought to play ball in remediating the vulnerabilities suggested by the Vault 7 leaks. Consensus now seems to run toward Apple's early conclusion. The 0 days alluded to in the files are old news, for the most part patched long ago. Zscaler and others warn of a spike in March Madness-themed phishing. March Madness is shorthand for the annual U.S. University basketball playoffs, much followed by gamblers, enthusiasts, and Subway alumni. Not that any of you would do this, but some people actually bet money on these teams. Shocking, we know. Shocking, too, is the sheer amount of cheating that goes on with online gaming, even when it doesn't involve gambling, as any parent of a child who's been booted out of Pokemon Go for downloading a teleportation app can tell you. The video game industry is big business, with about $91 billion in revenue in 2016. A fast-growing piece of that pie is esports, where gamers compete for prizes and glory, and there's a growing audience of spectators who like to watch them play. All this activity is attracting investors, TV executives, and advertisers, but it also attracts cheaters. Sarah Needleman is a tech writer for The Wall Street Journal, and her recent article outlines the challenges video game companies face.
Players are looking to get an edge by using unapproved software and exploiting bugs to win at competitions. It's a problem for the industry because right now esports is a rising area, and when there's rampant cheating, it affects the integrity of games, and people lose interest in playing them and lose interest in watching them. So companies are going out of their way to stop or at least fight cheating, because it's actually impossible to stop it outright, but they're working really hard to minimize it as much as possible.
Yeah, one of the things that struck me in your article was how much third-party help there is on both sides of this. I mean, there are companies who are selling the cheats, and there are companies who are helping the game manufacturers try to fight the cheats.
The ones that are selling the cheats, I don't know if I would call them companies in the traditional sense. I think a lot of these are individuals that are coming up with it and selling it online. In some foreign countries, they are setting up businesses. But I think for the most part, it's individuals who are very tech savvy, who come up with these cheat codes and then sell them online to like an underground network of players that are very tech savvy and very interested in getting an edge. I mean, what you're doing is using software so that every time you fire your weapon, for example, you have perfect aim, or you can see through walls. It's not like a one-time movement where you skip ahead of a level. This is affecting the entire gameplay, and we're also talking about games that are played competitively. You're not playing by yourself in your basement. You are playing online against other people. In some cases, part of a tournament, and you're trying to win prize money. The landscape is a little bit different than it used to be back in the day.
One of the things that struck me, I was surprised to find out the scale that this was running at, that we're not just talking about a handful of people who are cheating at these games.
Right. For example, with Ubisoft's Tom Clancy, The Division, that game has been out for about a year, and the company has banned something like 40,000 players from it. In the first week that Overwatch was out, the Activision Blizzard game, they also banned thousands of players. These games have several millions of players overall. So it is still a small percentage that is getting banned, but it is definitely higher than you might think. It's a constant battle. One person put it to me as an arms race, and that it's impossible to make it impossible to cheat. So they're constantly working to stop the problem.
That's Sarah Needleman from The Wall Street Journal. If you're using gift cards online, beware. Distill Networks warns businesses and consumers of a threat to gift cards. Gift Ghostbot uses nearly 1,000 infected sites to inspect and drain gift cards of their balances. The U.S. state of Vermont, at least, is contemplating legal action against America's JobLink for what appears to be its loss of significant personal information belonging to job seekers. 9 other states were also affected. One of them was Maine, which was using JobLink to help process unemployment claims. We heard from Ebba Blitz, CEO of encryption-as-a-service firm AlertSec, who sees the case as another unfortunate reminder of the seriousness of third-party risk. He thinks New York State's recent adoption of more stringent cybersecurity regulations may provide other states with a model for third-party compliance. We also heard about New York's new requirements from Brad Keller, who directs third-party strategy at the New Jersey-based security company Prevalent. While much of what New York now requires has already been recognized as best practice, the regulations go farther in requiring companies licensed for banking, insurance, or financial services to maintain comprehensive cyber risk management programs that address cyber risk at the C-level and board level, and that specifically address third-party risk. CrowdStrike retracts some aspects of its Ukrainian artillery hacking report, but not its core findings concerning Agent X malware. The retractions generally walked back claims of heavy losses sustained by Ukrainian D-30 gun batteries during fighting with Russian forces in the Donbas, unsurprising given the notorious difficulty of battle damage assessment. They also clarified misunderstandings about claims that Ukrainian units had been forced to fire on one another. That didn't happen. But they do stand by their claim that a fire direction app was compromised to reveal general position information about Ukrainian fire units, and that the malware was a Fancy Bear production. Finally, two deadlines expire April 7th, which is less than 2 weeks away. The Turkish crime family says it's going to wipe hundreds of millions of iOS devices unless Apple pays ransom. Apple says the threat's a lot of hooey, and pretty much everyone agrees. And Anonymous will run its annual Op Israel against various online targets in the Jewish state. Op Israel has traditionally been a fizzle that fails to rise beyond the level of low-grade nuisance, but Israeli authorities warn people to be on their guard nonetheless. So be on the alert, but hope to be pleasantly disappointed.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI.
Joining me once again is Avas Rashid. He heads the Academic Center of Excellence in Cybersecurity Research at Lancaster University. Professor, welcome back. I know today you wanted to touch on some things with social engineering and open source intelligence.
Thank you very much. The key challenge at the moment is that a lot of us use social media, online social media, so the likes of Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and so on. And inadvertently, people expose a lot of information online, which can make it a lot easier for attackers to craft social engineering attacks. So, for example, very targeted spear phishing attacks. What can normally happen is that an attacker can harvest an employee's information and use that as a basis to craft a very targeted attack. So things that, for example, provide the interesting hooks which would encourage someone to click on an embedded link or an attachment that will enable download of malware.
Yeah, I saw a story not too long ago about someone who got hit because he had an interest in classic cars. And the bad guys were able to craft a message that hit him exactly where his interest was and get him to click through to something.
Absolutely. And that's how, for example, RSA were breached. It was a very simple social engineering email. But the interesting thing is that with the power of computational tools that we now have at our disposal, we can do positive things, but they can also be used by attackers. So we have recently, for instance, done some work where we've actually demonstrated that you can automatically identify the employees of an organization using only information which is visible to a remote attacker as a member of the public. So you don't need to be listed on the organization's website for you to be detected as a member of that organization. For example, most employees would tend to follow the organization that they are part of on Twitter or another social network. But then what you can do is you can actually potentially link the profiles of such people across different social networks. So you can extract further information about them to make your attacks really, really sophisticated, and providing those really good hooks that will encourage someone to click on embedded links or download malware.
So how do people find the balance between, you know, going on, leading their day-to-day lives and enjoying all the benefits of social media, but also protecting themselves and their organizations?
I think there are multiple ways that this can be done. Individuals can be more cautious and vigilant about it themselves as to what kind of information do they expose. Or very often, keeping separate accounts for personal and professional use can be a very useful thing. But also organizations themselves can take active measures by trying to identify what kind of information about them or their employees is visible outside. This is not in terms of any punitive measures against employees. It's more about trying to understand what kind of information can be out there that can potentially be targeted, and in some ways use that information to, for example, educate employees about not revealing certain types of information that may make them more prone to such attacks.
Professor Avaaz Rashid, thanks for joining us.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.
And now a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the darknet, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire.